Psalms chapter 27. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you that our ears are anointed to hear this word. Our eyes, our spiritual eyes are anointed to see what we don't yet see. And our hearts are anointed to receive that word. And then we're anointed to go out and be doers of that word. Amen. The Lord is my light, verse 1 says. So here's David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, David says, is that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And he says, well, in the time of trouble, he'll hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he'll hide me, and he'll set me up on a rock. And mine eyes shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies around about. Therefore, I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Verse 7, hear, Lord, when I cry for a voice, have mercy, answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, Lord, I'll seek you. Hide not your face far from me. Put your servant away in anger. Don't put your servant away in anger. You've been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of them, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Everybody say amen to the word. So we're going to take our message mainly from verse 13 and 14 this morning. But let's just start out talking a little bit about some of the things we just read. And so David starts out by talking about the goodness of God, calling him his strength and his Savior. And he says that God was on his side, so therefore he had no reason to fear anything or anyone. And you know, when we begin to talk to ourselves about the goodness of God, it stirs something within us. It does something. Our spirit man begins to come alive to that. So he goes to say, sinful men come up against me, and they all tripped and fell. He said, an army raised up against me, and he said, I'm still not going to be afraid, because he was sure of the goodness of God. And David goes on to say the one thing that he desires, and we know that David had a heart after God. Amen. He goes on to say that he desires most is to be able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, because he knew there was safety and security in that place. And he could worship God, praise God freely, because in the house of God he would be kept in the day of trouble. And in verse 7, he says, God told me to seek his face. And he said, I sought his face. And he said, even though his father and mother forsaken him, he knew God would not. You may be forsaken by family, by friends, but God said, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. Matter of fact, you've been adopted into the family of God. Amen, if you're born again and saved this morning. So David begins to talk about the fact that he has many enemies about him. And you know, David, when he starts out, he was, oh me, like Pastor Lord said Wednesday night. Sometimes you just wanted to shake him. But in the end, because David had a heart after God, he always came through. And verse 12, he says, don't deliver me over to my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me. And I want to talk a little bit about that verse first before we get into the last two verses. A false witness is to tell an untruth. A false witness is to tell an untruth, speaking falsely in any manner or any matter. False means not according with truth. In other words, a lie. The false witness we have against us as Christian is the devil, who wants us to believe a lie. If God said, then why are you going through this? If God said your marriage would make it, why didn't it? If God said you would not have to be fighting for your health, if God said, If God said, do not be struggling with finances, if God said, the devil wants to bear false witness against you in the truth of the Word of God. And he whispers those lies in our ears. The truth about this false witness in our lives, spreading things about the Word, about us, as his sons and daughters of the Most High God, that is not true. And it's he's been found out in John 8:44, where Jesus said, he is a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks what is natural to him. Another translation says, when he speaks, he just speaks his native language, because everything that he says is a lie before he even comes out of his mouth. Because he don't know how else to talk. For he is a liar and the father of lies and half-truth. So when the enemy comes to you speaking something contrary to the word, it's not truth, and he's trying to bear false witness against you, to try to discourage you and to cause you to give up. This thief, this false witness that wants to bear these things against you for one reason only, and that's to steal, to kill, and to destroy you. Not to take you out of this world, but to destroy your dreams, to steal your vision, to take your purpose. Amen. So he does this through the wearing out of the saints, because he does not want you to walk in the blessings of God. Because when you begin to walk in the blessings of God, you're a testimony of the truth of the Word of God to the world around you, because they see the glory of God on you. And then you'll be able to be his hands, his feet, his eyes, and his ears in this earth now. And sometimes we have to wait patiently for those blessings to manifest sometimes. But in verse 14, David said, we're skipping 13, we'll get back to that in a minute. But in verse 14, David said, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Waiting involves the passage of time, which in and of itself is a gift from God. Time is a gift from God. He's time himself. So we don't want to put God in a time frame, but he has given us time as a gift. We have this life that we live in time. And God operates within that, even though he is time himself. You understand what I'm saying this morning? Waiting involves the passage of time. Waiting is continuing to do what you know to do with confident expectation that God is faithful to his word. Amen. Whew. Amen. I think I'll read that again. Waiting is continuing doing what you know to do with confident expectation that God is faithful to his word. Amen. David said in verse 13 now, well, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In other words, David said, I would have lost hope. I would have given up. I would have become oppressed and depressed. I would have not made it. Would have given up if it not been for the fact that I believed. God was going to show me his goodness and deliver me out of this, of what I was going through. So, you know, I don't have to get the breakthrough right now. But the knowledge that one is coming is enough for me to start shouting. Amen. Just the knowledge. Woo! That I know breakthrough is on the way. That's right. Is enough to cause you to put your dancing shoes on. That's right. I may not have it right now, but that don't mean I won't get it. That's right. So enough for me. Get an amen in the house today. Somebody needs to look at your neighbor and tell them breakthrough is coming. That thing which you're believing for is knocking at the door. Glory to God. So don't give up now. Don't quit now. Keep praying, because I believe, somebody says. I believe. Be like Elijah that we preached about a couple Sundays ago. Done got the word. I pray not to believe, but I pray because I believe. Anybody hear that? I pray because I already believe. I don't believe to try to make myself, pray to make myself believe. I pray because I know what the word says, and I just come into agreement with what I already believe, church. Mm-hmm. So suddenly, I pray because I believe. Suddenly, it may get dark. Sometimes it gets dark before the breakthrough. Your kids always get sick after midnight. You always get the police knock at the door after midnight. You always get that phone call after midnight. Because sometimes it's the darkest before the breakthrough happens. That's the time the enemy comes up against with false witnesses against you to get you so discouraged that you want to quit and give in. The clouds roll in, the lightning starts, the thunder starts, the wind begins to blow. But sometimes we think that's a bad thing. But the atmosphere, church, is being cleared for the rain to start. Anybody hear me today? Things have, your life have been shaken. And sometimes we blame the enemy for things being shaken. When God said things have to be shaken in order to make room for the new I'm giving you, because you can't handle what I'm about to do for you. Oh my goodness, somebody received that word this morning. Why is it taking so long? Because you can't handle right now, God says, of what I'm about to do in your life. And I'm just making room for what I'm about to do. Because there's not enough room for me and your stuff. And, whoo, glory to God. We have to get rid of some of that stuff. Oh, shut up on my castle. Hey. Somebody say, I'm shaking it off. Because I'm getting ready for the new. The river is flowing and I'm ready to jump in. So with the atmosphere has been cleared for the rain to start. Everything you touch at those times seems to fall apart. Those closest to you don't understand why you're acting the way you're acting. But it is you. You are making room for the breakthrough, because some of you, like I said, can't handle for what God is about to do. So get ready. The enemy attacks us all in different ways because he points out our weaknesses. You know, he sees our weaknesses. And sometimes it's overwhelming depression to the point that we feel like just ending it and just getting out of here, so to speak. And sometimes he attacks people in their health. But whatever you're going through right now, I want you to know that God is right there with you to go through with you. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Joseph, glory to God. He was with Pastor in the past years he's been going through what he's been going through. And you know, when you go through something, when you're believing God at the end, the things of this earth, the pleasures of this earth, the worldly things of this earth that we think we have to have become less and less. Amen? Amen. And that's the way I sense when I'm around Pastor. That he's been through so much in the last few years, and when I'm around him, I sense that he's closer to heaven than he is to earth. Not that he's dying anytime soon, but he has caught a glimpse, not of heaven when he died, but he has caught a glimpse. He has caught something that very few people have. And the things of this world doesn't matter to him anymore. He's like he's just lost in Jesus. That's what I sense when I'm around him. He is so relaxed in the spirit now, so laid back. And you've not heard the end of him yet. That's right. Amen. So the enemy attacks us in all different ways. Rise and say, that which the enemy is meant to destroy me is making me stronger. That which the enemy is using against you is going to make you stronger. And sometimes we don't get delivered quicker than we should have sometimes. It's because we've quit breathing. Remember one time when I gave you that word, and I said, sometimes you get an evil report in contrary to the word, and all at once it's kind of a blow, and you're like, and you quit breathing. And at the moment you quit breathing, church, it's the moment you quit living. And as I began to read this over and over in this verse 14, I began to see what David said. He was saying, I won't faint if it had not been for the Lord giving goodness. But if it had not been for the fact that I believed, I would see his goodness. Did anybody get that? It is in what we believe. Goodness, we started out the service talking about the love of God. Ricardo sings song after song about the love of God. There were signs in there that he was saying about believing. It is in what I believe that God's goodness. It's already there in our situation. He is goodness himself. God is goodness. So you are surrounded with goodness. So the reason that you're not going to faint, because you're believing.
that you're going to see the goodness of God in your life. He is goodness. We faint because we do not see it in the land of the living. Here where we live every day to see the goodness of the Lord. And so when a person quits breathing in the natural, they lose consciousness. The moment they lose consciousness, they begin to lose oxygen to the brain and then to the other vital organs. And eventually their heart quits beating and then you're dead. And spiritually, that's what happened to so many people in the body of Christ. It's they quit believing. And when you quit believing, you quit breathing. Because believing is what's making you breathe. Until what I mean by breathing is keep on doing what you know to do until you see the promises of God. But so many times people in the body have quit believing. And when you quit believing, you quit breathing. And you will never see the goodness of God in your life. And I was thinking about this. And the Lord spoke to me and said, Shirley, remind the people often to keep breathing. So when I say to you, keep breathing, I say keep believing. Keep believing, because as long as you keep believing in the Word of God, which is life, you are supplying oxygen to your spirit man that keeps your spirit man alive and energized. So don't quit believing, because it's a vital necessity that you keep believing in the goodness of God and knowing that He is goodness in itself. Believing is what keeps you breathing. Breathing in the natural means the process, literally means the process of taking air into the lungs and then pushing it out again. Taking it in and pushing it out. And when I began to think about that, I thought of James 121 that says, with a humble spirit, receive. Oh, with a humble spirit, receive the Word of God, which is implanted, or another scripture says engrafted, actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. So when we get into that Word and we begin to find out the truth and what's in our covenant relationship with God, because that's where you find out where your covenant rights are and that we're covered with the blood of Jesus, we're in right standing with Him, you're receiving that Word which is active, which is energizing, which has life to it, that seed that we talked about before. So you'll breathe, receiving that Word. And then when you receive that Word, you can bring that Word out and put it into the atmosphere. That's why it's so important to begin to decree and to declare what God has put in your heart. Because when you get that thing out there into the atmosphere, it begins to clear away that chatter and those things that are hindering your breakthrough. Take the Word in. Breathe that Word in. Keep believing. It causes you to keep breathing. And we don't want to quit breathing. Because if we keep believing and quit breathing in the Spirit, we will die. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't want you to receive that life-giving Word. And He definitely doesn't want you to begin to speak it out, the truth of that Word. Amen. Glory to God. So if you find yourself seeking a breakthrough in an area of your life, and you find yourself getting impatient, questioning God, becoming disappointed, I want you to breathe again. In other words, I want you to start believing again. What has God told you that you haven't seen come to pass and you became discouraged or disappointed and decided it's not going to happen? Because it is in believing that you will begin to breathe. Believing keeps you breathing. Living life as if you already have what God has promised. Man doesn't live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word. Every word. So if you're going to get your blessings, your breakthrough, you must, in the midst of your circumstances, see you're blessed. You must see it. You know when that woman finds out she's going to have a baby, how exciting it is, and she doesn't just lay around and do nothing, but she begins to prepare her body to bring forth that healthy baby. She begins to get her home ready. And so many times we get the Word and we just sit on it. Doing what we just do every day. And then nothing's happening. And that's when the enemy comes in and says, if God said, why hasn't that happened? Probably because you've been sitting on the Word. Amen? So you've got to see it. You've got to keep on doing. Keep on praising. Keep on breathing that Word in. Keep on saying, God, is there anything that I need to do to prepare myself for what you said? So if you're going to get your blessing, your breakthrough, you must, in the midst of your circumstances, see yourself blessed. So the woman that's going to have that baby that's expecting, she sees herself holding that baby. You've got to see yourself already in that breakthrough. You've got to see yourself already blessed. Believing, faith, trust, and hope are words that all work together. Hebrews 11, 1 and 2 says, now faith is. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Message Bible says, this is the fundamental fact of existence, that this trust in God, this faith is the firm foundation in everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we cannot see. What is trust, hope, believing? That's faith. The act of faith is what distinguished our ancestors and set them apart above the crowd. And you, as the body of Christ, that's what distinguished you and set you apart above the crowd. Because you believe in spite of that you do not see. And believing is what keeps you breathing. So I want to encourage you today to believe again, to hope again, to trust again. You don't have to pray for more faith. You've already got faith to speak. But begin to trust. Begin to hope. Begin to believe again. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah for your word, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We are thanking God because we are not seeing what you have said. Help us breathe again. Breathe upon us fresh revelation of your word today, God. Breathe upon us today, Father God. We just lift your hands right now and receive that in the name of Jesus. Thanking you that we are more than conquerors. Help the part of us, Lord. Help our unbelief. Show us, Father God, where we are doubting. And help us not to be the doubting Thomas that said, if I see, I will believe. Oh, Father, we just received that engrafted word today that you are for us and not against us. Now, church, I just speak God's favor over you this week. I just speak God's breakthrough in your life for everything that you're believing for. I just speak God's favor over you in the name of Jesus, that you prosper in everything that you touch this week. And that you go forth from this place being the hands, eyes, ears, and feet of God and the mouth of God this week to somebody that needs it. And Ricardo, I just pray for that young lady that you talked to. We just speak the life of God into her life, that her identity is not found of things that people have spoken over her, but her identity is found in what God says she already is. And we just speak complete victory over that young lady in the name of Jesus, that your word reaches her, Father. And everything that's been spoken over her is counted void when your word becomes alive in her, God. And she receives that word from you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Find somebody to hug this morning. Find somebody to love on and tell them to have a blessed week. In Jesus' name, amen.